Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say, yes, Jesus loves me. Thank God we know it to be true, don't we? Praise God. That's all he knows to do. All he knows to do is love you. Why? Because he is love. God is love. And so that's all he knows to do is love you. You never have to wonder if God's loving you or if he still loves you. Is he still God? If you're wondering if God still loves you, just ask the question, is God still God? And then you've got your answer. Because God is love. And so when we identify love, when we understand love, then we understand God. We understand him. We want to know and understand love, because the more we understand love, the more we can recognize it and identify it, then the more we can recognize God in our life. If we get away from love, we're getting away from, for God is love. Somebody says, if you can't get away from God, then why does he say in the book of James, draw near to God? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So that means he could be nearer to you right now than he is right now. You could be nearer to him, and he could be nearer to you. Otherwise, he never would have said, draw near. He would have just said, well, you can't draw near. I mean, you're as near as you can get. And God ain't going anywhere. No, he said, draw near to God. Or we could say, draw near to love. And God, or love, will draw near to you. See? How do I know if I'm drawing near to God? How's your love walk? Am I walking towards God or walking away from God? Well, are you walking towards love or walking away from love, becoming more unlovely? See, this is how we can tell where we're at with God, and therefore we can constantly tweak ourselves and keep ourselves moving in the right direction. How do I know I'm a doer of the word? Because I'm getting really good at yielding to and walking in the love of God. How can we tell the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil? How can you tell the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil? So, well, everybody's a child of God. I mean, we're all God's children all over the world. Well, that's not the Bible. Jesus looked at some of the most religious people of his day, and he said to them point blank, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Because they just finished saying that God is our father. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And it's the desires of your father that you want to fulfill in life. He's a murderer. You're a murderer. You got murder in your heart. He's a liar and the father of lies. And you're full of lies and deceit. See? You're the offspring of the devil. Notice that. Jesus was helping them to identify who they were a part of, whose kingdom they were a part of, who was their father, who were they yielding to? And it was the devil, and he helped them to see that by pointing out to them the lying and the murder and all these things that were in their hearts. Well, how do we know we're of God? How do we know that we're not of the devil? How can we tell the difference? What's the thing that really separates a child of God from a child of the devil? Well, it's love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Who does not love his brother. The one that's not operating in love is not of God. Well, I'm of God. I'm of God, I just don't like these people in this church. Well, there's a problem. There's a problem with your heart. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs that each man will proclaim his own goodness. You know, everybody's quick to believe great things about themselves. Wouldn't it be great if we were like that towards other people? If we are quick to believe great things about other people, as quick as we are to believe great things about ourselves. That's how love is. Love is quick to believe the best about others. Pride is quick to believe the best about itself. But how do we know the truth? Well, you can't just leave it up to your opinion. You can't just leave it up to how you feel about yourself, whether good or bad. You got to come back to the word. You got to come back to love. Love. Love will help you to see where you're at, how you're walking in life. We always got to come back and check up on ourselves. Do a love examination. Do a love examination regularly. Well, how can you do a love examination if you don't have the proper tools? Well, that's why we're here this morning. We're getting the proper tools. We're getting teaching and understanding on the subject of love so that we have the tools to be able to constantly examine ourselves. Check our love pulse. Check our love rate. See how our love pressure is doing. How's your love pressure doing? You know, it'll help your blood pressure. I said, love, if you get the love pressure right, if you get all the love vitals balanced correctly, then your natural physical vitals will be affected by that. You could trace so many things back to love. Because God is love and he's the source of all life, right? He's the source of our life. So we want to be yielding to life. And if we're yielding to life and cooperating life, the better we are yielding to him and cooperating with him, following him, the more life is going to be manifested in our physical bodies. And so we're going to experience life and health and strength over weakness and sickness. Amen? I mean, that's be one of the first things. You start dealing with symptoms in your body, check on your love walk. How's love doing? How's love doing? We check on love. Get myself over here yielding to love. Before you run to the medicine cabinet, begin to run over to love. Draw near to love. Start cooperating more with love. Get yourself in a love mode. And that's going to cause health, healing to spring forth in your body, in your life. There's actually a scripture on that in Isaiah that just came to my mind. Chapter 58. He says, verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? He's talking about fasting. And God says, this is the kind of fast I want to see you on. Not just fasting food, but a fast that will loose the bonds of wickedness. In other words, people that are bound by wickedness. You want to loose people from wickedness. To undo heavy burdens. You see people that are oppressed, loaded down with heavy burdens. What do you want to do? You want to undo those heavy burdens. Right? Why? Because you care about people. You want to see people loosed. You want to see people free. Why? Because that's love. Love wants to see people set free. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. How many want to be a yoke breaker? A yoke destroyer? A burden remover? Come on, that's who Jesus is, right? He got around people, they were yoked and burdened and bound and oppressed. And what did he do? He loosed them. He set them free. Because he was love manifested in the flesh. Love manifested in the flesh. And God still wants to manifest in the flesh. Through you and I. We need to be love in manifestation. Right here in this physical world. Love in manifestation in the flesh. That's who we are. That's our goal. That's what we're shooting for. If we're shooting for God, if we want God, that's what we're looking for. And so we want to be yoke destroyers, burden removers. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Not turn your eyes away from people in need and hide and just worry about yourself. See, what's he talking about here? He is talking about love. Walking in, yielding to, operating in the love of God. This is what the love of God does, as we see so clearly demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ while he was here on the earth. He says, do these things, walk in love, do not hide yourself from other people's needs. And then verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, in other words, you shall pray, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Hallelujah. God's right on it. See, the more we grow in love, the more we're growing in God. And the more we're going to have God in manifestation in our life, in all his power, in all his goodness. So if we can get more out of ourselves and get more into concerning ourselves with other people and wanting to help people, wanting to deliver people, wanting to set captives free, the more we're getting over in love, the more we're getting over into God, and the more we're going to have God's power and blessing in our life. Revelation light will spring forth. We won't know what to do with it all. You just know too much. Too much light. Healing, what's it going to do? Spring forth quickly. Hallelujah. I like instant healings, don't you? Don't you want to see the healing process sped up? Thank God we're receiving healing from God, but I'm telling you, as we grow in love, we can see things get sped up. We can see miracles and healings happen quicker, and in greater number. That's what we want to see. We want to see more of the miraculous of God in manifestation. How's it going to happen? We're thinking more in line with love. We're thinking more in line with love. We're becoming more love-minded. We're becoming more caring of other people. How do we know that we're born again? Somebody says, I've been born again. I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. How do we know that? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So how do you know you're born again? You love. That's how we know you're born again. I've been born again. That's great. It'd be nice to see that, right? We don't want to just say that. We want to see that. How do we know we're born again? Love. How do we know you know God? And how well do you know God? Well, I can quote a lot of scriptures. No. Love. That's how we know you know God. That's how you know God. See, again, how do we do these examinations on, where am I at with God? Check your love. Check your love. Check love. How's love doing? Are we selfish? Or are we doing these things? We destroying yokes, moving birds, praying for people, caring about other people, want to help other people. Remember, you're being trained and equipped for the ministry this morning. Right? Because Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So you all have a ministry, and you're being equipped. What is ministry? That's getting the word out. That's help getting the word out in power. Helping deliver people. Helping to set captives free. See? That's what it's all about. That's what being equipped for. To express the love of God. Because that's what ministry is. It's just an overflow of the love of God. It's reaching out, healing, delivering, helping people. Preaching the good news, getting people set free, because that's what love loves to do. And so that's what we love to do. Are we growing in love? So we've got to check on ourselves. Well, what am I doing? What am I doing with love? What am I doing? See, it puts a demand on us, doesn't it? Kind of puts a demand. See, it puts a demand on you. Because it's so easy to sit back in complacency and self-centeredness and think that, yeah, I'm good. I know God, man. I know God. You gotta check that. You gotta check that. You gotta put yourself up against the X-ray machine of love. Go in the love machine, and see where we're really at. Come on. And then you say, oh well. I mean, I thought I knew him, but I haven't been very lovely. Tell you the truth, I really haven't cared about too many people this week. Well, I mean, I care about my family, us four, no more. You got to be willing to face it. You know, you got to be able to look. I want to be real, don't you? I want to walk in reality. I do not want to be deceived, because if you get deceived, the enemy takes advantage of you. So we don't want to be deceived. We want to walk in the light. We want to know the truth. So I want to know my spiritual health. What's the condition of my spiritual health? Because I know if I get that right, I know physical health will follow. Physical health will follow. I've got to have a strong spirit. How do I know I got a strong spirit? Because I'm walking strong in the love of God. So we got to press ourselves, push ourselves, shake ourselves out of all that complacency and self-centeredness and just praying about us four no more. Don't get quiet on me. Stay with me now. And you're examining. The examining, I could see. There's an examining. It's like a red light over everybody's head. And it's like you're in the examination room. But keep listening while you're in there. How do we know we're abiding in God and not drifting from him? A lot of people don't realize they're drifting from him. Am I talking about here? I'm just talking about in general. People don't know when they drift from God that they're drifting from God. They don't know that. Well, how do you know? How can you tell? How can you check? 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides or continues in love abides in God, and God in him. Are you continuing in love, or are you getting more angry and bitter at people? Well, we started out doing good. You know, there was a whole lot of love in our house. Well, I got news for you. Love needs to be increasing in your house. Love needs to be increasing at the workplace. Love needs to be increasing. Well, they didn't give me a raise. That's got nothing to do with it. Well, business isn't working out very well. It's got nothing to do with it. Love should be intensifying, not diminishing. If love is diminishing, then we are drifting from God. We're drifting from him, and we don't want to drift from him. How do we know we really love God and we're not just lying to ourselves? How do we know? 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, a lot of people say that, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? How can he love God? He's got his brother right in front of him, and he doesn't love him. It's despising, looking down on, hating, unconcerned, doesn't care about him. And yet he turns around and says, I love God. That's a deception. And there's a lot of deception. I mean, you know, we live in a very deceptive world, because the father of lies, who is the devil, is referred to as the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. And he's a deceiver. So this whole world is filled with deception. The whole world's filled with darkness. But thank God you and I are the light of the world. And the world needs lights. So we need to turn up the light. How can we turn up the light and get more bright? Turn up the love. Turn up the love. Operate more in the love of God. So we're constantly checking ourselves, constantly checking on our love walk, making sure that it is growing, that it is getting stronger, that we are loving, number one, God more than ever. Do you love his word more than ever? love His Word more than ever. We love His Word more than ever. We love being doers of His Word because we love Him. And then we love and care about people. We're not just interested in ourselves. And listen, this is something we got to work at, because everything in this world is pressuring us and pushing us into selfishness, pushing us back into ourselves, pushing us back into ourselves. And we can't allow ourselves to get pushed back into ourselves. We got to let the light shine. We got to break out, press against all the negativity, and let love rule. Let love reign. Let love come forth from our life. And there's going to be a lot of unlovely things, maybe even right after you hear this message today. Because the Bible says that the devil comes immediately to steal the word that is sown in people's heart. So we're hearing the word on love. And so if Jesus is true, and this really happens, that Satan comes immediately to steal the word that is sown into our heart, and the word we're hearing is on love, what do you think Satan would try to do to try to steal the word? Try to create a very unlovely atmosphere around us, right? Try to cause a lot of unlovely things to happen to us. And you know, it catches too many Christians off guard, you know. They hear the word of God, Satan comes immediately to steal the word, you know, brings negative things, brings the very opposite of the very thing, tempts them to walk in the very opposite thing that they just heard taught. And they think, why is this happening? I mean, I felt great. I was just at church. And I mean, I no sooner get out of church and look at all that's happening. Yes. Jesus said that's what happens. He comes immediately to steal the word. But don't be afraid of that. That is an opportunity to exercise the word. When he comes to steal it, you take it as an opportunity to exercise it and get stronger. Put it to work right away. And then you can just thank the devil as he's fleeing. Thank you. Thank you for that opportunity for me to practice what I heard today. For me to practice love. Hallelujah. Thanks for sending all those unlovely people. Thank you for stirring up all those unlovely people. And then we can pass the test. And what happens? You grow. You grow. You grow in your faith in the love of God. You grow in your ability to yield to the love of God. And it gets easier. As you get stronger, as you grow in yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to love, it gets easier. And so things that used to just make you go berserko and just cause you to lose control of your emotions, get all upset and frustrated, it's fun to watch how those things don't bother you anymore. It's fun to watch. Now the devil's got to increase his ammo, you know. And it's like you're just walking and you feel like Superman, super love. And you just walk in and things are just bouncing off of you. Negative stuff just bouncing off of you. And you're just walking right through the midst of it. And you're just unmoved by it. And love just keeps coming forth. Love just keeps coming forth. You just keep responding in love. And how does love respond? Well, let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's learn about the characteristics of love. Remember, we said that love is a law. Love is a law. It's a spiritual law. It's called the royal law over in the book of James. And just like the laws of nature, the law of love is constant. It's the same all the time. We talk about the laws of nature. That's a statement of uniformities or regularities that govern the world. Things that are regular. How many people knew without a shout out the sun was coming up this morning? We weren't wondering about it. I sure hope the sun comes up today. We weren't wondering about that. Again, we could set our watch to these things. There's a lot of things in nature that we know they're constant all the time. That's how love is. Love is constant.
It's unchanging. So it's faithful. It's faithful, trustworthy, devoted, dependable, dedicated, committed. See, when you really begin to understand love and understand that God is love, then you begin to see how dependable he is, how trustworthy he is. And the more you see how trustworthy he is, the more you trust in him. And the more you trust in him, the more you're in faith. And the more you're in faith, the easier it is to receive the things that you desire from God. Becomes easier to receive. We want to live and walk by faith. Faith in God, or we can say faith in love. We can have faith in God, faith in love, because we understand he is completely dependable and trustworthy. He's not schizo. He doesn't have schizophrenia. He doesn't change. He doesn't change with the moods. He's not shifty, thank God. He's dependable. Get to know him. He's the same all the time. And of course, faith works by love. The Bible tells us over in the book of Galatians, faith works by love. So if we're going to walk in faith and by faith receive things from God, then we're going to have to understand love, because that's what our faith is actually in. And so love is, again, what? It is faithful, trustworthy, devoted, dependable, dedicated, committed. So we can say faith works by commitment. Faith works by commitment. Faith works by being committed. See, if we're uncommitted and we're unfaithful, and I'm with you one day and I'm not with you the next day, that's going to affect our faith. That's going to affect our ability to be able to receive from God. See, just breaking it down. We want to be able to receive from the Lord, don't we? I mean, that's the most important thing, is to know how to pray, how to receive from God, how to receive from him. Because every good thing comes from him. And it's nice that in life that we were born into some nice things, and that we fell into some nice things by accident, or we have some nice things because other people were believing God. And we are reaping the benefits of what other people have believed. You know, you look at our nation, there's people that believed things. They were believing things. They stood in faith concerning God and his word and his hand upon this land. And we are enjoying the benefits of that today. So thank God for that. There's a lot of good things that we have that come from God that are the result of what other people believed for. But we don't want to just go through life just depending on other people believing good things for us. We want to know how to receive from God for ourselves and receive very specific things from him. And we do that through our faith. And faith works by commitment. Commitment. Commitment to God, and even a commitment to the things we're believing God for. There's got to be commitment there. There's got to be faithfulness. If we're living an unfaithful life, it's going to affect our ability to be able to receive things from God by faith. Because faith works by love. Faith works by commitment. Faith works by faithfulness. Faith works by being dependable, dedicated, committed. So you start breaking it down like that, it really helps you to know how to work these things in your life. Love is dependable because it is stable, steadfast, always there, and always the same. Isn't that how God is? Bible says Jesus Christ over in the book of Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's the same all the time. He's unchanging all the time. So love is just as dependable. It's stable, steadfast, always there, always the same. So when we look at these characteristics of love over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we understand that as a law, they are the same all the time. Reliable, committed, devoted. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll pick it up here in verse 4. Love suffers long.
That's a good one. Love suffers long. Another translation calls long suffering there, or suffering long, patient. It's patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. Have people ever said or heard someone say, man, my patience are running out. My patience is just running out. That is not a true statement. Patience is the same all the time. Patience doesn't weaken. Patience doesn't lessen any more than God weakens and lessens. Patience is never diminishing. It's never coming to an end. That's not what patience does, because that's not what love does. It's like a law. It's patience is all the time. It's all the time. So people never run out of patience. People run from patience. That's the difference. And that's such a powerful thing to get a hold of. People don't run out of patience. People run from patience. What does that mean? They're running from God. Whoa. So if patience seems to be running out, you need to understand, no, patience is the same. It's immovable. It's unchanging. Patience is not the problem. You are moving away from patience into impatience, or more into the flesh, more into yourself, into selfishness. And so again, James says, draw near to patience. Draw near to God, draw near to patience, and patience will draw near to you. Patience is there. God, I need more patience. Well, that's like saying, God, I need more God. How many people got God? Well, if you got God, then God doesn't cut pieces off. You got God, you got God. You're either in him or you're not. So if we're in God, God is in us, then we're in patience, not impatient. We're in patience, and patience is in us. Now what do we need to do? We need to yield to it. Yield to that patience. Allow patience to just flow through our life and bear the fruits of patience through us. But what happens is we get our eyes off of patience, get our eyes off of love, get our eyes off of God, and we get our eyes on the circumstances. We get our eyes on how people are treating us. We get focused on what they said about me or how long this is taking. And what begins to happen? We begin to drift from him, and now we find ourselves over in a place where we're not experiencing patience in our life. How do you want to experience more patience in your life? Well, got to keep our eyes on him. Keep ourselves yielding to him. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're working on, developing that consciousness of that God is with me. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. He's the same all the time. People are changing all the time. Circumstances are up and down all the time. And if you connect with that, if you put your eyes on that, then that's where you're going to go. And you're going to move away from your consciousness of God and go more into a consciousness of what's going up and down around you. And it's going to make you up and down. So as soon as we begin to see a lack of patience, we got to recognize, oh, that's a warning to us. Oh, I'm getting my eyes off of God. I'm drifting from him. I'm moving out of a consciousness of him and becoming more conscious of my circumstances and situation that's going on around me. So we got to shake ourselves and bring ourselves back. Because patience is always there. It's always there, always the same, all the time. Are you following that? All right? So patience never runs out. Patience never runs out. People run from patience. We only grow impatient when we go from patience. We grow impatient when we
go from patience. Patience is not limited. It's people who limit patience in their life. We don't want to limit patience in our life. How can we avoid limiting patience? Keeping our eyes on the Lord, focusing on Him, and when things are coming that are really stretching us and there's some suffering going on and we want to quit, we want to give up rather than suffer long, we want to give up, we want to vent our feelings, what do we need to do at that point? Disconnect your emotions and all that from the circumstances and connect it to Him. Connect it to Him and say, God is patient. Patience is with me all the time. Say that. I got patience. Do you have God? Do you have God? I'm asking you that. Do you have God? You have patience. Hallelujah. You have patience. Don't ever say, I'm losing my patience. That's like say, I'm losing my God. No, you're just leaving Him. You're leaving Him because you're focusing more on your circumstances than Him. So come back to Him. Begin to build that in you. So we need to build that patience consciousness in us, that love consciousness in us. Man, I God's love, God is with me. Love is with me. Patience is with me all the time. Long suffering. It's with me all the time. So there's no room for impatience because patience is there with you all the time. Can you say amen? All right. Love is patient and kind. Notice that. Verse 4 again. Love suffers long and is kind. Kind. That word kind means to show oneself mild, calm, gentle, to act benevolently, compassionate, generous, thoughtful, considerate. What happens when we start becoming unkind? Why would somebody be unkind? Because they didn't keep God on their mind. Right? That's why you'd become unkind. Well, it's because of this. No, it's because we get God off our mind and we become so focused on it, so focused on people, so focused on things that we get away from the kindness that love is. But love is kind all the time. Love is kind all the time. So do you have love? Well, here's a good reminder. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Long-suffering and kindness have been poured out into your heart by the Holy, not trickled out, poured out. Poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Long-suffering and kindness. Man, it is in us. All we got to do is yield to it. How do you do that? Be mindful of it. It's not that we don't have kindness. We have kindness. We just got to be mindful of it. That's why the Bible tells us that we got to renew our mind with the Word of God. And that's what we're doing today. So say, kindness is with me all the time. I yield to kindness. Hallelujah. I'm one with kindness. Yeah. You're one with God, one with His Spirit, one with love. You're one with kindness. So you're kind all the time. You're a nice person. I like being around nice people, don't you? Christians are the nicest people around. They're the nicest people on the face of the earth. They're not rude, right? They're not impatient. They're not hateful. They don't act ugly. They're just nice all the time. Gentle. Calm, mild. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. So notice again, you see in 1 Corinthians 13:4, you see long-suffering or patience and kindness together. Here we see it again in 2 Timothy 2:24 concerning a servant of the Lord. Do we have any servants of the Lord in the house this morning? We're here serving the Lord, right? It says, servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Not get into a quarrel, not going to get into these arguments. In other words, not going to get into strife. That's what strife is made up of. It's made up of arguments, right? We don't get into strife. We're gentle. Gentle to all. Again, that's one of the definitions of kindness. Gentle. Able to teach. Patient. Patient. So again, you see the gentleness and patience working together. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings. Wranglings is talking about bickering, backbiting. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Notice that he's talking about folks that come with teaching, with doctrine. They come with the scriptures. And he turns around and says, these guys know nothing, but hey, they're arguing the scriptures. Precisely, they're arguing. They're arguing. There's strife. There's a lot of pride here. There's a lot of trying to prove themselves. And he's saying, I don't care what it seems like they know concerning the scriptures. They know nothing. That's what he says. They know nothing. But he warns us about words from which come strife, come all this negativity. See, we gotta watch. We don't want to get baited into strife. To be baited into strife is to get away from God. It's to get away from Him. See, we got to see the seriousness of it. So it's all part of helping us to make those adjustments in our life. These kind of things have so helped me in life to grow up spiritually and to be close to God, not get over into deception. Because you check yourself, you check on your love walk. Am I being kind? If I'm not being kind, I'm not yielding to God. I'm not yielding to Him because He's kind all the time. So if I'm becoming unkind, I'm getting into strife, I'm trying to argue my point, I'm not being gentle, I'm not being mild, I'm not being calm, what's happening? I'm drifting away from the Lord. Instead of drawing near to Him, I'm pulling back from Him, focusing on the thing at hand, focusing on the thing that's causing me now to get all argumentative. So we don't want to think, well, I have a good reason to be argumentative. I have a good reason to feel this way. Do you have a good reason to drift from God? I'm not drifting from God. God is with me. In fact, and we're quoting scripture and everything else, and we're getting further and further from God. So you see, we got to come back to how's our attitude? Are we keeping ourselves calm? Keeping ourselves calm? Or are we getting over into panicking, and anger, and strife, bitterness, and all these things? No, we're going to remain kind. Say, I'm kind. Because God is kind. And God's in me. All the time. And He doesn't change. So my kindness doesn't change. Amen. Now, with that said, let me ask this question. Would kindness ever strike someone? My wife said we're not answering. Psalm 141. I'm glad you asked. Asked me to do it. Psalm 141, verse 5. Man, this is going to help us be closer to him. And experience more of him in our life. Psalm 141, verse 5. Let the righteous strike me, and it shall be a kindness. And let him what? Rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Notice that. It'd be a kindness. If I'm going the wrong way, if I'm headed towards a cliff, if I'm going in a way that is going to be self-destructive, oh man, somebody jump in my path and slap me. Wake me up. That would be a very kind thing to do. That'd be a very caring thing to do, wouldn't it? Yes, be a very caring thing to do. It's what love would do. Because love wouldn't let somebody go off a cliff if it was in their power to help stop it from happening. Right? The unlovely thing to do is to hide yourself from your own flesh. Hide yourself from other people's needs. But love will step in there and it'll deliver people. It'll deliver people. In fact, the Bible talks about the chastening of the Lord. When God corrects, and he says, as many as the Lord loves, he corrects. So a lot of times people take correction as hate, as rejection. Correction is not rejection. Don't take correction from God or correction from love as rejection. It's God wanting to bring you direction. Turn your life around. Get you on the right path. But see, people many times they take it as rejection, but you have to understand, you know, what's the motive behind it? What's the purpose for it? And so there is a stepping out. There is a correcting somebody. There is a rebuking somebody to help them. And that's what love would do. But if it's just because, again, it's strife and you want to prove yourself right, then that's not being kind. That's not love. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son. Did he say hate? He said hates. Hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, that's not an excuse to vent your anger on your child. It's not an excuse to go off the handle and vent yourself, because that's not love. When love corrects, when love chastens, it's not for itself, it's for the other. So we got to make sure that we're kind in what we're doing. And it's not being done out of anger. It's not being done out of selfishness, selfish motives. Just like Jesus when he appeared in the temple and made a whip out of some cords and he drove the money changers out of the temple. Remember that? How many know Jesus is love? And yet here he is, and he's driving these thieves and robbers out of the temple of God. Why? Because he was passionately trying to bring the people back to God. And it was a wake-up. Jesus didn't lose it. Jesus didn't just go, I can't stand it anymore. He didn't lose his mind. This was written of him. And he already had seen this in the scriptures about himself. This was something that he purposed to do for their sake. It wasn't some kind of knee-jerk reaction to some frustrated feelings he had over people. So you see, love is passionate. We were talking about that on Wednesday evening. Love is passionate and kind. Love is passionate, patient, and kind, all at the same time. It's very passionate about helping people, delivering people, setting people free. So it can get very intense. Love can get intense because love is passionate, but yet it's kind, it's thoughtful, it's concerned about others, and it's not a zeal for itself. It's not being passionate for itself. Love never loses control. Flies off the handle. Love doesn't do these things. And notice what else over here in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Now, when you look up that word envy, it's exactly what we're talking about. The word envy means to be heated, or boil with hatred, anger, to burn with zeal. But it's a zeal for yourself and how you were offended and you were done wrong. And you didn't get what they got and you deserved it more than they did. It's all this zeal and passion for itself. It's all boiled over with hatred and anger. That's what this word envy means. And love is never envious. It never is envious. There's no envy in love. Say, there's no envy in love. So there's no envy in me. Because love is in me. Love is patient and kind. All the time. So I don't boil over with anger. Now, if you're boiling over with anger, you're not yielding to love, which means you're not yielding to God. See, now we got to take it serious. We're drifting from him. We got to recognize, whoa. And you know, you can really get on yourself, you know, even in the littlest things. You just be unkind. Be impatient. It's just a little thing. Most people don't even recognize it. But what did you just do? I stepped over here, one step away from God. Well, I don't know about you, but that bothers me. I think I know about you. That bothered you too, wouldn't it? If you knew that you just took a step away from God, who is your life, who is your protection, you don't want to take one step away from him. And yet if you see yourself, fix that right away. Fix that right away. And what's that going to do? That's going to train you. You know, just like if you have your dog and you teach the dog to heal. You ever see somebody teach a dog to heal? I mean, it's cruel looking. You know, they're walking along. The guy's walking his dog. The dog wants to take off and run. The little dog is just wild about everything, right? And so the dog pulling, he goes, heel. He pulls that dog down there by its heel. Pulls that dog back by its side. And then the dog begins, heel. Heel. And they just keep doing it. Keep doing, choking that dog. You know. And after a while, you don't have to say anything anymore, do you? That dog doesn't dare run away and get ahead of its master. See? So we got to do the same thing to our flesh. See? The flesh begins to go that way. We take the knowledge of the word that we just got today. Don't you pull away from God. Because God's here and the flesh wants to go out there. We can't let that happen. So we got to pull the flesh back into God, which is where we're going to stay. No, you come back here. Pull that flesh back into God. And you just keep doing it. What happened? Just like a good dog. You become very obedient and submissive. And you just walk in love. You just walk in love. And it's easy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, I'm long-suffering. And I'm kind.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.